At the end of the day, we're there to help patients make a decision, a good choice. We're trying to help them do the dentistry they need and or want. You know, we don't believe in making up stuff. We don't believe in upgrading patients from a filling to an inlay. I don't believe in any of that nonsense. Right. We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple. Can you believe it's been through? This is episode number 380 of the podcast. Awesome.
Yes, I can. Yes, it feels like 575.
Oh my God.
And I probably wasn't even there for the first 100. So, yes.
Or 200 even.
Yeah.
I mean, it just feels like it seems like it's harder and harder to come up with content.
I know. So, but if you guys have any ideas, send them over.
Please do. But here's what I've learned. And what I've known, but I continue to remind myself, is you have to say the same things over and over again for it to stick into people's head.
Which reminds us of what we're going to talk about today.
Exactly.
Because I think we had another sold out case acceptance business boot camp a few weeks ago. And, you know, there were some people who've been there who've heard it 3 and 4 times. And Caroline, she actually texted me and asked me, isn't it hard to teach this when some people have never heard it before? And some people have heard it 3 and 4 times. And I was like, it's like a movie. Yeah. Like some different parts stick each time.
It is amazing. And that's part of why I've got to get over talking about the same thing, you know, again and again to the same audience. You know, as my podcast family, I'm in your ear nearly every week. And I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over again. And I try to say it with different words in different ways. But so this week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some key takeaways that we noticed from our case acceptance boot camp. And we want to reiterate them to you at home while you're walking or exercising or slightly tuning out or while you're about to fall asleep, whatever it is that you're doing.
Maybe it feels like we're running right there with them.
That's favorite. I wish Core Power would get their renovation done so I could get back to yoga. Yeah. I've noticed a difference. It's been August the 15th since I've gone, so it's been a little over a month.
I thought you found another place.
That's Core Power. Core Power is the other place.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm ready to get it rocking and rolling.
Well, before we get into today's episode,
you have another review?
Another review.
You're going to use all our reviews so quickly.
I know. So this one says, thank you. I have been listening to all the 3D Dentist podcasts for over a year now. I recently took my team to the Growth Summit in Nashville. I have found T-Bone Sully and everyone at 3D Dentist to be down-to-earth, engaging, entertaining, and most importantly, inspiring. As a dental practice owner, listening to a passionate dentist speak about running dental practices gets me fired up for my day. I walk into the office inspired and ready to rock. Thank you guys and keep up the good work. Shout out to Dr. Kevin Albert. Yeah. Talked to him a couple times recently, and he'll soon be in our mastermind.
Did you have to beg him to leave us a
review? No, I didn't even have to ask.
That means you're not doing a good job, Meredith. You're supposed to ask everybody to leave a review.
Don't even have to.
You just told on yourself.
I know. Well, before we get into...
I do want to say something. For those of you listening, Meredith has curly hair today.
Again, it's been hot and humid and rainy and icky, and so... He says I'm frizzy.
Well, the reason I bring this up is I need your podcast family. I need a favor. I need you to subscribe to the 3D Dentist YouTube channel. And so I think the best way to do it is I think you need to go see Meredith's hair.
Well, you know what's funny is in like college, I had some extensions that were all, I had some straight ones and I had some curly ones. So I could clip in different ones. And then it got me laughing. Like, what if you had like a selection of different wigs?
I should because I bought some Jamaican jerk sauce yesterday at the farmer's market, and I looked at the guy's hair and I was like, I wonder what I would look like
with his hair,
that dead hair on top of me.
Yeah,
he smelled a little bit.
Oh, it was not good.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm.
I don't know if his hair smelled or he smelled.
I was thinking, but
I cooked the jerk sauce last night and it was fantastic.
Good.
Well, anyway, let's talk about dentistry.
So our case acceptance business boot camp, and it's funny that we talk about repeating the same things over and over again, because Sully said to you, you know, we focus on the four fundamentals that we believe in at 3D Dentists. And you told Sully that for the past 20 years, I've done these same four fundamentals. And he said, you must have to remediate.
And I do.
And then once his practice started to grow and new team members were constantly coming on and he was feeling those dips and going through the motions, he understood what you really meant by continuing to focus on the four fundamentals. So in the Case Acceptance Business Bootcamp, we focus on these four fundamentals and then we put them into play. We role play and we do all kinds of things to show your team the full experience of the patient start to finish.
Yeah, and you know, the vast majority of the attendees are people in our mastermind program because they get priority attendance. We sometimes have a few spots for non-mastermind people, but the other part of it is it gets the team members to be able to ask questions about day-to-day operations, things that they're running into, challenges, pushback that they're getting from patients or they're putting on themselves, which is most of the time what the case is. And so it really, it's an amazing opportunity. What I'm most proud of is this program started off as me teaching it, and now it's me doing a half an hour of it. And
we have you come in. We have you guest speaker.
I'm a guest star.
Yeah.
I sit in my trailer and I have somebody put makeup on me and then I'll make an appearance and I'll be the jester.
We purposely schedule you with meetings and coaching calls all day so that you're there, but not
there.
Not in front.
All right. So for those of you new or just to review, our four fundamentals when it comes to case acceptance is awareness, making your patients aware of what's going on, communication, influential communication versus patient education, financials, helping make treatment affordable for the patients, and priority scheduling so that you can prioritize doing the type of dentistry that you want to do and prioritize your profitability as well. Yeah, so those are the four fundamentals that we harp on. And as a practice owner now of 25 years, being in dentistry, it is the same stuff that I still focus on, not for 20 years, now for 25 years. And because team turnover, sometimes we lose our way a little bit. We get off path and we just need to get through it. We need to get back on track again. And sometimes people just need to hear it differently. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. So we kind of jotted down just a few of the takeaways and kind of the questions or what people wanted to reiterate on or kind of go over more in depth of this last couple courses. So we'll start with, I think they were most mind blown with your term of education comes after case acceptance.
Yeah. And so I learned this from Paul Homily.
Yeah.
And, you know, case details came after case acceptance.
Right.
And, you know, I call it patient education comes after acceptance. And we got so much pushback this time on this one. I feel like it was more this time than previous times. And what I mean by that is, look, we got to inform our patients. We got to do consents. We got to do all that stuff. But I don't want us to get technical talk and technical education with patients until they say, yes, they want to do the dentistry. And so that means like when I'm having conversation with patients, I try not to use words like fillings and crowns and root canals. I try not to go through the details of how we're going to accomplish their work. I try to focus on, do they want to, you know, for example, Meredith, would you like to get your older dentistry updated and make it as strong as possible?
Yes.
Would you like to get out of pain? Would you like to get the infection taken care of in your mouth? You know, would you like to be able to eat and chew with confidence? So I try to work on those higher level, very relatable parts. And I want the patient to keep saying yes and yes and yes. And then once they, to me, acceptance is once they say, yes, I want that, then I can slowly go into the education part. Hey, Meredith, we're going to get your tooth taken. We're going to get rid of the infection on your tooth by doing what's known as a root canal. We're going to do it all in one visit and you're going to love the outcome. And it's going to give us a chance of maintaining that tooth for a longer period of time. You know, I don't try. And then even then they're like, well, you don't tell them like the details of the root canal. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, why would I? We're going to take a 2506 file spinning at 300 RPMs in a reciprocal motion, 60 degrees forward, 40 degrees back. Like, no, I don't do all of that stuff.
Right. And I think most of the doctors who were most shocked with this had probably graduated in the last couple years.
Yeah, it's always the younger dentists, newer team members. You know, the older team members, older dentists, they do it out of habit.
Right.
the younger dentist, I'm like, you don't even have a habit. You've just been beaten into your head that this is how you compensate for not being able to connect with the patients. And really, I think that's why we rely so much on patient education, is that we're not having a human being connection with the patient. We're literally just being robotic and telling them.
Yeah. And I think they also are trying, one, they feel they know that they're young. They're trying to get the patient. They want the patient to know. They know what they're talking about, and they think they're smart.
Patients are smart. They know you're dumb. And,
but what I love what you say with patients is one thing you say to patients to get case acceptance, if you were my mom, if you were my sister, but I always, you know, tell these team members and doctors, pretend like you're talking to your mom or your sister. Like, they have no clue. Why are you even going to waste your breath? You want to say as few words as possible what we're going to do. And they don't know nothing makes sense in the dental world.
Yeah. And I think that's why if you're a hygienist listening or an assistant listening, if you're a team member listening, I think this is the reason these dentist conversations take 10, 15, 20 minutes is because they're literally trying to educate the patients in dentistry. When the patient just wants to know, basically, what are you going to do? Does it hurt? How much does it cost? And they really just want those questions answered. Yeah. And to me, that's what I want to answer. And then once we get to that point, then, of course, we'll do consents. We'll let them know. I know what the other one was, Meredith, this time. One of the team members said to me, you mean you don't tell the patient how many fillings and crowns they need? And I'm like, so you want me to tell the patient after I'm done, Meredith, just so you know, you need 16 fillings.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be 8 crowns.
Yeah, right? 8 fillings. I'm like, no. I mean, they will know how, because when they get the plan, they will see how many. But I'm not going to emphasize, like, hey, you have a mouthful of cavities. You got 16 fillings that need to be done.
I think that kind of jumps down to the complexity.
Yeah. So
now we're at the point where we're over educating.
Yeah. So point number 2, which is actually number 4 on our board here, was we're over educating patients. Yeah. Like, this whole, we do all ceramic crowns. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no metal. And I'm like, dude, that day is like, this is not the
Nobody's
early 2000s.
Been doing metal.
It's not the early 2000s, you know, or people are talking about, you know, just so you know, we're going to do 4 crowns and 4 fillings on you. I'm like, nobody, all you're doing is creating doubt
and overwhelm
and fear and overwhelm and making it sound more complex. As a patient, which would you rather hear? Choice number 1, Meredith.
Yes.
Just so you know, we need to do 4 fillings and 4 crowns on you.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Or choice number 2, hey, Meredith, you've got a few fillings here and there. Got a few things that are a bit bigger than fillings. We can get it taken care of, and we're going to make it all tooth colored, and you're going to love the way it looks, and it'll make your teeth as strong as possible.
Okay. Can I do it all at once?
Yeah, absolutely. With sedation if you'd like.
Okay.
You know, so to me, it's the matter of fact language.
And somebody is going to go over with them what the treatment need is.
They will. That's not the
funny
the
part.
Dentist's job.
They just
not the team
as
members.
A dentist, I need to tell them what they need.
Yeah, I guess we had 2 people this time. It was like, I as the dentist need to tell the patient everything they need. I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah. And what's amazing?
And
to
they
me,
heard, they heard you say to the patient. The patient heard, I'm going to read off some mumbo jumbo to Megan. Yeah. She'll sit down. We'll have some Aubrey sit down with you afterwards and explain everything that we've put in, but just, you know, hear us out for just a second.
Yeah. And, you know, and what's amazing to me is the same people, and I'm not making fun of any human being in particular. I'm not. I'm just trying to, I don't know. I'm ranting really is what it boils down to is the same people that insist on telling the patients everything refuse to talk about money. Mm-hmm. Like refuse, like I don't tell the patient how much it is. I'm like, so you will tell them, hey, Meredith, you need 8 crowns and 8 fillings. How much does that cost? I don't get into that.
Yeah.
That's beneath me. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, that is the main question. They don't care how many things you're doing to them. They just want to know how much does it cost.
Yeah. So paper napkin math, ballparking, knowing ballparks. I mean, I would say most people, team members and doctors, weren't aware of ballpark numbers in the practice of how much treatment costs. So that was kind of an eye opener.
Yeah. Like how little time the dentists help the team members set them up for success. Like simple things like, hey, a root canal is $1,200. A filling is on average $300. You know, I'd ask people, like, you remind me, I'd say, hey, can somebody ballpark what this costs? And the first lady hand went up and said, what insurance do you have? I'm like, what does it matter what insurance I have? Well, then I can ballpark it. I'm like, oh my God. So you guys are ballparking these conversations with patients based on the insurance fees? Like, you have to be a mathematical genius.
Yeah.
To be able to do that. I'm like, dude, just do MSRP. And then when I said MSRP, they had no idea what I was talking about.
Right.
I just wondered, do people not buy anything anymore?
I was going to say, do they not go shopping?
So that was point number two. Point number one and four, basically, educating after acceptance and then over-educating, making it too complex. And then MSRP leads into number two, which is overcoming the fear around patient financing. I'm still shocked. At how many team members don't believe in patient financing.
Right.
But yet they buy everything on not patient financing, but financing. As soon as you add the word patient in front of it, it doesn't work.
So I had to say, like, what everyone is using on Amazon, on all these brands now offer Shop Pay, Klarna, Amazon Pay, all these different things. It's all pay in four. It's called.
It's patient financing.
It is financing. Yeah. It is a loan. If you read the fine print, but nobody reads the fine print. Yeah, they just click on it.
No, but the dentist will make sure that the patient, they'll read it to the patient for them.
Yeah.
Just so you know, you do understand you're signing this piece of paper that says, if you don't pay your interest, they will send you to the interest court.
Yeah. So, I mean, what we shared with, like, you know, just presenting the finances and letting the patient look it over, asking what works for you, giving them a lot. We use multiple different companies. We're giving the patients the options to do more dentistry in less time. We're saving them time. And a lot of times it's scary how few team members are confident and comfortable presenting finances.
Yeah, it revolves around, I literally had somebody say, I was talking to somebody on the side.
Yeah.
They go, what do you do about the high interest rates? I'm like, doesn't that bother you? I said, the fact that you can't pay cash for anything bothers me.
Yeah.
But I also live in a different economic world than 99% of Americans.
Yeah.
And then I said to them, you're worried about the finance. Great. I said, what's your interest rate on your credit card? I said, number one, do you keep a credit card balance? She goes, yeah, unfortunately, I have to. I'm like, what's your interest rate? She goes, I don't know.
It's like in the 20s, probably.
I'm sure it is. But my point in that is we judge others.
Yes.
And then don't live our own life the same way. I mean, it's at the end of the day, we're there to help patients make a decision, a good choice. We're trying to help them do the dentistry they need and or want. You know, we don't believe in making up stuff. We don't believe in upgrading patients from a filling to an inlay. I don't believe in any of that nonsense.
You know? And the fact that we have these options to offer our patients is huge. I mean, a lot of them couldn't get it done without it. I think 85% of America don't have the funds for an emergency if something were to happen.
Above $2,000.
Yeah. And a root canal crown, I mean, that can pop up on you.
It's $2,000.
In an emergency, you know?
It's more than $2,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and I think part of this has to become that we have to understand, and I talked about this actually, that the biggest shift I've seen in dentistry in 25 years has been the transition from dentistry still being a noble healthcare profession to dentistry becoming essentially a business. And it's happened, you know, and yes, we're still healthcare providers. Yes, we're still all of that. But first and foremost, we are now business people. Because whether you're an owner of the practice or not, because you own your operatory, we have become business people because our menu of services have gotten longer and longer. The complexity of the dentistry we do has gotten more and more complex. And, you know, it's gotten more expensive. And we have got to understand that patient financing is critically important. I love it. I'm ranting today. I don't know why. Dentists, I'll say, you know, we use a lot of patient finance in our practice. I was speaking in Minneapolis. I had a dentist come up to me and say, I'm proud that our patients don't need financing.
Somebody always says that.
I'm like, so you basically offer your patients $500 worth of dentistry and or you live. Because I've talked to dentists in Beverly Hills.
Right, but not every patient lives in the backyard. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we have patients coming from an hour away pretty regularly, and our practice is in the city. So think about
the city. We're in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's not the city, but yeah.
It is. It's like city limits, but
for
our
you
patients.
From Wake Forest, yeah.
But our patients don't live in the backyard.
No, like I just. Oh.
You know, you get patients from all over, but that kind of leads us into our
last
topic.
I love the class because it's.
Eye-opening.
I see the light bulbs
yes.
go off on these people, and I see that. Because on our app. We get the feedback from the dentists.
Like it works.
That it's like, my God, I'm seeing a difference. And then what blows my mind is I'm like, oh, so you see the difference after you create some momentum. Like, do you intend to send your team members back? Why would I send them? I'm like, dude, I've watched Star Wars 20 times.
Right. Well,
I see
think
something different each time. In fact, I just watched it again last night because Darth Vader died.
Oh, goodness.
James Earl Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I like about doing it in person is we get all the pushback in person. And it really...
Well, we invite it too.
Yeah. We're totally open to it. We do lots of role playing. We ask, you know, what are you thinking? How is this going? We do lots of like, get with your team and write down, you know, what patient financing you offer. You know, we present financial menus to each other. We do a lot of things that are like, you know, where we're just not yelling at you for 2 days straight, hopefully.
Yeah.
So that really creates the chatter and creates, you know, the what ifs. And I love when somebody's like, well, my patients say that. And we're like, okay, let's role play it right now.
It's the best. So then just come up and be the patient.
Yeah.
Say whatever you got to say. Let's work through it.
Give us what that 1 in 100 patients are going to say to you. But overcoming the fear around patient financing and really leads us into our final, and I think is what's so important because it can kind of go in this for all four of the categories is thinking for the patient.
Yeah.
And I think patient financing is a huge example of that. We think our patients don't need it.
Or they don't want it.
We've had patients finance that have like nice cars and planes.
Yeah.
And if they can get
I'm thinking of one patient he was just telling me he bought a seven-figure plane. And then he goes, yeah, I'll do your 3-month payment plan.
Yeah.
Because there's no interest. Like he goes, why would I give you my money now if you'll
spread it out?
I'm like, that's kind of smart.
Yeah. So not thinking for the patient. And I think, you know, one, not saying my patients don't need this. That's thinking for the patient. But two, we just automatically start wanting to deliver the dentistry tooth by tooth or quadrant by quadrant. We're not giving the patient the chance to say yes to the best.
Yeah, I think this thinking for the patients is really, I really don't believe, I believe majority of the time, the dentist and the team members, and they're not doing it in a really negative way.
Oh, no, I think it's in the best interest. They think they're doing it to help the patient.
I think it's their own limiting beliefs.
Right. Yeah.
We've been trained so hard. Like in dental school, I remember you couldn't do a lower jaw on both sides because you couldn't numb both sides of the jaw. Well, you couldn't numb the entire mouth. And I think it's been ingrained in us. Like
I think
you couldn't do root canal buildup and crown at one time because what if the tooth doesn't work?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like,
the tooth needs space to breathe.
So we think for the patients because of our own limiting beliefs. And I'm giving some grace to people. Here's part of the challenge with that is before it was really never an option to do a root canal buildup crown in one visit.
Yeah.
Like that only became a choice with rotary endodontics, with advanced medicaments, with CAD/CAM technology, milling technology. All of these things became not even just possible. I want to call it normal.
Yeah.
You know, or like, for example, the whole concept of teeth in a day.
Right.
You mean you can, like, how many patients have we met? You mean you can take my teeth out, put the implants in, and give me the teeth the same day? I'm like, yes, that's the only way I want to do it.
Right.
You know, and of course, there's times where you can't do it. For those listening that want to say, well, what about this situation? Of course. But we can't think for the patients because of our own limitations or our own economic. I tell team members this all the time. Your economic limitations cannot become my patient's economic limitations. And you know, the other area I think team members and dentists, team members mainly on this one, think for the patients, they proactively bring up insurance. Like, that's a good thing. It's not.
Yeah.
Bringing up insurance is not a good thing.
It becomes
thing.
A crutch.
It really does. Yeah. It only and plants makes more seeds work of for doubt. Us. Then yeah. they start asking questions. Well, what about let me call my insurance company, see what, like, they're the freaking bosses of people's mouths.
Yeah.
And it's
not thinking for the patient, that reminded me of a time, but it also reminded me with our nonprofit, for example. I mean, we're doing dentistry for free.
Yeah.
But it's so wild to me how important the case acceptance journey still is.
Yeah.
Because even taking finances out of it, like getting patients to say yes sometimes to these larger
yeah.
types of dentistry, or you need lots of grafting before we can place implants. You still have to walk them through the whole process. Yeah. They still have to accept before over-educating and yeah. not thinking for the patient. And I remember you said, oh no, we can't do bilateral sinus lifts on this patient. And I said, well, that's what the patient wants.
Yeah.
So you're thinking for the patient. And guess what? He was one of the best patients we've had. But you know, we had these rules in place.
I just didn't think the patient wanted to be there for 6 hours getting
unsedated. Yes, but they didn't want to lose that opportunity. They understood the opportunity.
Yeah, it's amazing, Meredith. You're so correct. That was me.
Yeah.
Thinking for the patient. Like, I would in no way, shape, or form sit there for 6 hours in an educational setting getting this done to me.
But this was a time where we didn't have enough patients for all the doctors. Yeah. So we had some doctors coming to just shadow. And by just sitting down with these patients and going through, hey, this is a great opportunity, yeah. talking them through it, we all of a sudden filled the next day's schedule and were able to give another doctor an opportunity to do it. But that's what really showed me how important this case acceptance journey is versus just seeing patients and letting them, you know, just us telling them what to do.
Yeah, you know.
You know, we had told these patients what they needed and none of them had signed up. When they come in and I talk about this is your journey, this is your, you know, you let us know when you're ready. We can do it as early as tomorrow, all in one visit. Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to leave on this note. It's a conversation from this morning. I was talking to one of our dentists
yeah.
and the mastermind, and their treatment coordinator happened to be on uh-huh. as well. And what he was telling me, the treatment coordinator, was that he's getting a lot of pushback from patients. They say, I just want to do the fillings. Mm-hmm. And I totally get it. Okay, I said, number one, if that's what the patient wants to do, I got no problem with it.
Yeah.
Okay, then put together a plan for the fillings. Where I do want you to draw the line is I don't want you to let our concept is we're going to work in a quadrant at a time at least. So put together a plan, because basically when they say I want to do the fillings, it's economically, I can't afford everything.
Right.
But I'm not going to jump from quadrant to quadrant doing one filling here, one filling here, one filling here. I said, we're going to
present a
plan.
When there's other treatment.
Yeah, we're going to put a plan together for that lower left quadrant, lower right, whatever it is. We'll start there. I totally understand, Mrs. Meredith, that economics play a role in this, as it does for majority of our patients.
Yeah.
Why don't we get started on the lower left-hand side? We'll get that whole side taken care of. That way you can inch you over there with confidence. And then when you're ready, we'll move to the next area.
Yeah.
You know, versus this hodgepodge of moving around. Like, at some point, we do have to take control.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we have to do what's right.
Yeah.
You know, too. But we do want the patients to be. And I think in that scenario, they would feel like they were being led well.
All right. Speaking of all of this, Meredith, where are we at with Mastermind? Are we booked out for January 2025 is sold?
January 2025 is sold out. And we are booking into starting in July of
2025. July 2025. So.
Yes.
If you're interested in transforming your practice, getting control of your practice, developing leadership skills, developing your team members, and getting control of your economic future, then our Mastermind program is phenomenal. It starts with a 6-month trial where we feel each other out. And then we'll decide.
I wouldn't call it a trial. We jump right in.
But
it is.
But
it is 6 months.
And then we jump. Then we invite each other back to have an ongoing annual relationship, and then we go from there.
Yeah.
And so if you want to join in July 2025, all you got to do is go to 3d-dentist.com/application, and you can apply to be in the mastermind program. Hey, if you're not interested in changing your business, you just want to learn new clinical skills, we got that too. So everybody have a great day, and we'll see you soon.